Well, I was just trying to gloss over and not go too deeply into your love for sexy, sparkly vampires.
It's Friday, August 2nd, 2019. It's time for your weekly Nerdgasm Overload. Dissecting the husk of the video game industry, this is the Noob Shelter Podcast, Episode 9. Vacation! Woohoo! Party! And broadcasting live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington, in the Noob Shelter Bunker. Good evening to you all. I am Matt Fugitive.
Preparing himself for the Hot Sauce Expo next month from the depths of his not-so-secret or subterranean lair on the outskirts of Federalis Way, the link-dropping chatmaster himself, it's Freebird!
And sitting on top of my ivory throne from my skyscraper in Puyallup, south of everyone else on this show, it's Fade to Black.
I'm Batman too,
Woo! I gotta get you a separate sound effect there, Mike. I'll work on it. But yeah, so
I gave you two.
I know, but like I'm gonna. Well, I can use
you
those. Start
it with both of them.
Yeah, I'm partying down here, man, in the bunker. I'm getting groovy with it.
Can't seem to get my mind off of you. Ooh.
It's party!
You guys can hear the music, right?
Yep.
All right, so we're back on the air.
The copyright strike coming, yeah.
So we're back on the air. We took a break last week. No thanks
and
to you,
And the week
John.
Before.
Hey, I got Goonies next weekend.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
It's the last of the dive-in movies.
I'm going to stab you.
Hey,
Why don't we just do a pre-recorded podcast Thursday night then?
Something like that.
We can do that because I'm on vacation, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Let's do a pre-record Thursday night and then just broadcast it Friday.
And then all of us can go to Wild Waves and watch the Goonies.
I can't afford Wild Waves, man. That's too much money for me.
If it wasn't the season pass, it would be too expensive.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm going to actually... I got some plans for my vacation, so... I just don't know exactly if I can do it. Like, one of the ideas I had for my vacation was I want to... Now, I know I got a feeling I'm going to get some feedback on this. I can feel it coming in my bones. But it's because it's something I want to do. I wanted to start at Gig Harbor, work my way up to Port Orchard, go up to, Bremerton, and then cut on over to... Port Townsend, Port Angeles, go over to La Push, pay a quick trip to sexy, glittery vampire town, and then work my way down and around the coast to Aberdeen, and then work my way back up.
Oh, so you want to go around the peninsula?
Exactly. I want to do a peninsula tour, because I've been to Aberdeen.
I've been to Aberdeen.
Well, yeah, if I'm going down to Ocean Shores, you cut through Aberdeen.
Well, but... I had family in Aberdeen.
So. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Cool.
Did. Oh, at this point in time, they both moved.
Anyway, so I want to do the Peninsula Tour because I've been to Walla Walla. I haven't been to Leavenworth yet. That's on my list. Yeah, I know. I haven't been to Leavenworth yet, okay? I've heard about it. I've seen pictures of it. It looks cool.
It's nice, but touristy.
I've been to Walla Walla. I've been
the
to
beer
Yakima.
Is phenomenal.
I've been to Tri-Cities. I've been to Spokane. I've been to Bumblefuck Deer Park. I've been up to Bellingham at the border. You know, I've been pretty much
dude,
over
the base
a good
out
chunk.
On the street. Holy shit.
A what?
Some car is either out in the parking lot or driving by, and I can just feel their bass rumbling.
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
I hate people
why?
Like that.
I never understood
about
why
the,
you
I'll get into a story about a bass in just a second. But yeah, so I've been all over Washington. I've just not been on the peninsula.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been down to Vancouver. I cruised along the border, you know, of Washington and freaking Oregon. I've done it. I just have not been to that section. I've even been up to the islands. You know, the San Juans and Orcas.
Deception Pass?
I've been through Deception Pass.
You've been through Deception Pass, you haven't gone through Leavenworth? Jesus.
I've just never gotten that far, I don't think. I know we've gone through Deception Pass for some stupid reason. I wasn't driving at the time, so.
Deception Pass is north of where you turn off for Leavenworth. Leavenworth is on Highway 2.
I don't know, man. I'm just telling you, I've not been to Leavenworth. So, not the feedback I was expecting, but I will accept it.
Well, I was just trying to gloss over and not go too deeply into your love for sexy, sparkly vampires.
Well, no, that's what I call forks. That's what I call, for those our listeners out there that are not from Washington, the Twilight series was filmed in Washington State. It was filmed on the peninsula in a small town called Forks, Washington. And I just call it sparkly, glittery vampire town. Like, I call Seattle sometimes sexy doctor town because of Grey's Anatomy.
Well, you know, you said sparkly, sexy.
Oh, that's
or
what
sexy,
the kids
sparkly
are calling.
Town.
That's what the kids called them back then.
Sure. Okay, yeah, whatever.
Anyways,
is that better?
Anyways, so Mike, that's again not what I was expecting, but cool. Mike, what you been up to?
Well, I had one hell of a busy week trying to, between work and trying to reorganize everything in my office and trying to pull some stuff back up so I can.
I'm gonna cut you off there for a second. I'm gonna ask any of the listeners out there. Any of the listeners out there, I need a jingle. I need some kind of a jingle. I'll pay somebody. I need a jingle for Mike because this is like the fifth or sixth time that he said he's reorganizing his office. We need a jingle for that. Please. Okay, go ahead and continue, Mike.
This isn't a separate occasion. It's an ongoing freaking process, okay? I'm pretty damn sure I have more tech stuff than both of you combined.
That is true.
Yep.
I mean, I gave you two servers,
stuff on
Matt.
Your walls, though.
Yeah, and
yeah,
one of them was bunky.
I'm
but...
working on that. Oh,
when
no.
You
you're
leaned,
the one.
I'm assuming
you
leaned back.
Server, you're the one that freaking borked it, so.
I didn't bork anything. I just did what you told me to
bork,
do.
Bork, 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 bork.
John, what have you been up to?
Well, we more or less have a vehicle. Well, that is in our possession in the foreseeable future.
What you got?
For the foreseeable future. I can talk.
Woo!
I do the thing with the thing.
At least you can talk. Your typing was sure having issues earlier.
That is what I was saying about my swipe keyboard.
I don't swipe. That's the key.
I use the Google keyboard, and I don't have a problem with that.
I just need to recalibrate the damn thing.
Right?
You just need to throw it out the window.
It works for the most part. It's just, since I put the case on, the calibration's been off. I probably took a tumble, too. Oh, good God.
Why'd you take the case off?
No, I put a case on.
Oh.
Okay. I added the case.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. But that's what we've been up to, guys. So, I guess. Let's just get this shit on the road already.
Where the hell is it?
I don't know. Where'd you put it?
Let's do the top five. We actually have five tonight for top five.
Ta-da!
I'm actually kind of excited about this. And we got some good ones, too. So a lot of it is kind of carryover from the last episode or that we didn't do. So I kind of just took like a couple of them that I had from episode 8 that we ended up scrapping and just throwing up a legacy thing and bringing them over because they're still pretty much legit. So let's just get on with it. Top five.
Okay.
Oh, huh. I guess it would help if I had a number five.
Wow. You're just doing really well tonight.
Yeah. I am. There we go. There's five. That's what I wanted.
Number five.
All right. So, Nintendo Joy-Con. We talked about this about an episode or two ago, where the Joy-Cons were getting what was called Joy-Con Drift. And Nintendo really wasn't doing anything about it. Well, it looks like somebody forced their hand because, and I've, as far as I'm concerned, this is still going. The somebody has, there's a class action lawsuit over the Joy-Con issue, and Nintendo is right in the crossfires. So a law firm in the United States filed a lawsuit against Nintendo for the Joy-Con drifting issues. Go Nintendo reported this. The law office of Chimicles, Schwartz, Kreiner, and Donaldson Smith is filing said lawsuit, citing a common problem for many years. The drift is, of course, when the sticks on the little controllers start to automatically drift in one direction after extended use. It's similar to anybody who ever owned a N64. If you held your analog stick in a certain position when you turned on the N64, it would be stuck in that position until you shut it down and didn't touch the damn stick. But it's not as severe as that. It's more, it gets worse as time progressed. So yeah. Nintendo heard about the class action lawsuit, obviously. We have a link here. Looks like John dropped it in there for us already. Thank you. He's on it. So Nintendo's like, okay, well, we're going to fix all of the Joy-Cons for free, even if they're out of warranty. So Nintendo is reportedly started offering free Joy-Con repairs. An internal memo acquired by news source Vice stated that the Switch customers will no longer be charged for repairs and refunds will be given to those users who have already paid to have their Joy-Cons fixed. And this happened after that class action lawsuit.
And there's the key.
So my opinion on this is, all right, good job, Nintendo, but you are not known for this kind of douchebaggery. You're not. I mean, they're usually pretty good if, like, something, like, you know, they're usually pretty good about it. John, you worked for Nintendo, right? Or you worked as a call center rep at some point?
Yeah, and at that time, they were definitely about taking care of the customer when it came to equipment like that, so long as it wasn't third-party sort of deal. But
obviously,
from what I've heard, they've kind of changed things up quite a bit in the recent years.
Well, this is the first time I've actually heard of such douchebaggery. That, like, it made me grit my teeth, you know?
I think the one thing that kind of pisses me off is the fact that someone at Nintendo should have known this was going to happen. I mean, as soon as it came out that the Joy-Cons were having these kinds of issues, someone should have been like, hello, let's just...
they should have jumped on that bandwagon.
But now.
They should have jumped on that bandwagon. And what happened... Well, I'm assuming they did their own internal testing, right? But I guess they didn't do it enough to notice the drifting. I don't know.
Well, they never do.
Yeah, that's true.
They put it within tolerances. And so after, and usually the maximum amount of testing I've ever seen is usually anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. If it's still after that, it's 6 to 8 weeks, it's still within tolerance, they're not going to freaking, they're going to dismiss it. Like, it, okay, it's just, you know, it's isolated to maybe a small batch or something like that. Instead of, oh crap, now we have like over a 500,000 people complaining about this freaking drift issue.
Right.
We should probably do something about it now. Oh, exactly. Wait, no, never mind. Oh crap, there's a lawsuit. Let's do something.
Yep. Quick, yeah. quick. We're negative. We're becoming EA. We got to fix it. We got to de-douche. Give them the shit for free. All
this
right.
is, I wish I would have thought about it and gotten you the clip from Fight Club.
What clip was it from Fight Club? Remind me. I haven't seen the movie in a while.
Where they're talking about the accidents and whether or not it's worth doing a recall.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that now, yeah.
Cool. It would have been perfect right there.
Yeah.
Moving on, number four.
Number four.
So, we all heard of Ninja.
Ninja.
Tyler Blevins, if that's how you pronounce his name, Blevins. He's a big Twitch guy. Well, he was a big Twitch guy, but yesterday he said he's not going to be a big Twitch guy anymore. He's going to go kiss the Microsoft booty.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tyler Ninja Blevins on Monday said goodbye to Twitch. He announced that he's moving exclusively to the Microsoft-owned streaming platform Mixer. Now, for those of you who don't know, Mixer is Microsoft's answer to Twitch. It's built into the Xbox, and you just push a button and pretty much go. It's pretty simplistic to use. There are...
Not bad, really.
Yeah, right now there are currently about 69,000 streamers on Mixer, compared to the 1.5 million that are on Twitch. But the reason why Ninja is moving over, he didn't really say that. I couldn't really find anything. There's just a lot of frustrations in the Twitch community right now.
And oh, yeah, because of the freaking douchebaggery that's been going on.
Exactly. And it's not just the douchebag. It's a lot. So there's been a lot of streamers leaving Twitch and migrating over to YouTube and migrating over to Mixer. I don't know.
Yeah, because YouTube has YouTube Gaming.
I don't know if anybody's still using Hitbox anymore. I know we used it before, and it was great.
Hey, Melody.
But yeah. Ah, we got a Chata. Hello, Chata. But anyways, yeah, so a lot of frustration. That's why Ninja's moving over to Mixer, and all of his people are going to go. So my question to you guys is, do you think this is the first nail in the coffin for Twitch?
No.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
I mean, Ninja is freaking big.
Yeah, but it's Fortnite.
Exactly.
But it's freaking big. Fortnite is freaking big.
You're going to see certain types of streamers and certain game genres maybe move over more to Mixer.
Well, that, and it's also considering the fact that, I mean, yes, Ninja is huge. But he's not the only one. There are several other big names. Might not be as big as Ninja, but there are still several other big names
like
on
Doctor,
Twitch.
Like Dr. Douchebag Respect.
Disrespect, dude. Disrespect.
Dr. Douchebag Respect.
If you're going to mention him, at least get the damn name right.
Dr. Douchebag Respect.
How disrespectful!
Douchebag! Anyway, so. But yeah, more on that as it develops. So he's probably going to lose some viewers because you got the average Joe that hops on Twitch and is like, ew, Fortnite, I'm going to click on it. And they'll click on it and it'll be a ninja joint. And he's not going to be on Twitch anymore. So he's going to probably lose that. Because not a lot of people really know about Mixer unless they own an Xbox.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he's definitely going to bring a huge freaking... big ass spotlight to Mixer.
Yep, that is.
That's the announcement
that's
alone.
That's why I feel like it's the first nail in the coffin for Twitch, because if you got a big streamer like Ninja going to a low brand like Mixer, that's big news for Mixer. They're gonna get a lot more people coming over there. I'm almost sure of it.
I don't
look
think
at
it's
YouTube
a nail.
Gaming,
I
how many
it's,
that's true too.
good look at YouTube Gaming and look at how many of the Minecrafters are still streaming there.
Yeah.
You're going to get genre specific. Minecraft helped build YouTube, but Minecraft's never going to leave YouTube.
That is true.
Fortnite may move over to Mixer, especially because you can just grab Fortnite on the Xbox and go.
Yep.
But Twitch is going to have probably more PC games you're going to see. I doubt League of Legends is going to go anywhere off of Twitch. You're just going to have different people.
So I'm looking up something real quick. I don't know. Do they have... I think you can stream Mixer from PC too, right? You can run a PC Mixer
stream. Yeah, you can through the Microsoft Store, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Mixer. You can do Mixer through PC as well.
It's already up. They got a big old banner on Mixer. Watch Ninja on Mixer. For a limited time, subscribe to Ninja's channel for free.
Yeah, 2 months free.
Wow.
You get 2 months.
Some of the top games.
2 month subscription.
Some of the top games that Mixer is streaming is Fortnite, of course.
Of course.
Grand Theft Auto 5, Apex Legends, and PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
See there, most of those are shooter type games.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a Battlegrounds type.
Yeah,
genre.
And
genre.
I could totally see that. It's like you want to watch Battlegrounds, you turn on Mixer.
Yep.
You want to watch? What is the name for the type of game that League of Legends is?
That is a MOBA, I think.
MOBA. Yeah, MOBA. There we go.
MOBA.
So you want to watch MOBA, you're probably going to go to Twitch.
Yep.
You want to watch YouTubers or Minecrafters, you're going to go to YouTube.
Yep.
They've just got your different channels.
Or classic gamers. There's quite a few classic gamers on YouTube.
There are a lot of classic gamers. And speedruns are all on YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Moving on to number three. Where is it? There it is.
Number three.
So we talked back in episode 7 about GameStop changing their motif, their style, their je ne sais quoi to please us old gamers and young gamers alike. Well, they did something pretty freaking out of the ordinary. They laid off a dozen of regional managers on last Tuesday.
Man.
Or on Tuesday, they fired over 50 field regional managers. As part of our continued GameStop reboot transformation initiative, a dedicated team, including the retail vice president, HRLP, and the U.S. store operations leadership team, have been working diligently to realign our current field regions and districts in an effort to reduce our cost structure and build efficiencies into our field leadership organization so that we can reinvest in the business.
That's a whole lot of words to say nothing.
That is an email
pretty much
that was sent on behalf of Gary Riding, the company's senior VP of U.S. stores. That was an email leaked. Unfortunately, here's a little bit more of it. Unfortunately, with these changes, there are more than 50 field leaders who have been impacted and will be leaving the GameStop team. This includes regional, district, HR, and loss prevention leaders. These decisions are not easy, but necessary to help us reduce costs to enable investment and revenue-driven initiatives that will help grow the business once again.
Woo! They tanked ThinkGeek.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
Last I checked, at least a dozen stores were on the high mark for closing.
Wow. That's interesting. Most districts and regions are massive now, the former employee said. So they had a former employee that actually contacted. The story came from Kotaku, and they wanted to be anonymous. I wonder if they have a DNR or some shit like that.
Oh, I guarantee you they do.
The anonymous employee said it was widespread. 50-plus district leaders, 6 regional leaders, multiple human resources, and loss prevention staff. The individual believed that most of the people targeted in the layoffs were high-paid district leaders responsible for coordinating several individual stores as well as underperformers. Quoting the employee, most districts and regions are massive now. DLs have, district leaders have 20 plus stores, and quality of living, I would assume, is going to go down. Prior to the restructuring, they said district leaders oversaw 15 stores or fewer on average. Earlier this year, GameStop reportedly laid off a dozen employees in charge of marketing and website maintenance for ThinkGeek.
Bingo!
Wow!
Because they fucking tanked ThinkGeek.
Yep, they did. So there's a lot going on in GameStop's world. I wonder what their stock price is at right now.
Yeah, Melody was saying that it's sad that they did that, and the higher ups should have cut their pay first.
Yeah.
And definitely, $157 million a year.
I'm going to keep an eye on GameStop. I'm going to follow this market because I'm looking at it right now. The current stock price for GameStop Corp is $3.78. It has gone down today by 1.56%.
At the time of the article, it was at 402.
Yeah, let's see. 6 months. I'm trying to see if it'll get me what it was 6 months ago. It doesn't want to give me the specifics. But it was pretty up there 5 years ago. It really tanked since. It was up over like $40 a share. At one point, it hit $50 a share. Looks like, and then over 5 years, it's just gone down.
Yep.
Max, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, man. I mean, I'm going to keep an eye on it because I'm always told to buy at the dip, but I don't know where the dip is going. And if these guys are really going to reimagine themselves and they're going to come back from the fire, I want to be in on this. So I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'm not going to put any money in it yet. I'm going to keep an eye on it. Number two. So we all know about the Play Pass subscription services, right? Or the Pass subscription services. Game Pass, PlayStation's got something. Google's going to have something with their streaming service. Apple has one for their App Store for their games. It's like Apple Arcade or something to that effect.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Google is actually going to jump into the fray now, and they're beta testing a Play Pass subscription for premium apps and games.
Interesting.
So it's going to be $4.99 per month for a catalog of paid apps and games. Apparently, there were leaked screenshots of this test app Android Police released. I don't have those screenshots on me, but I'm sure they're in the link that John dropped because he's awesome like that. Looks like they're actually kind of focusing on going after Apple Arcade because Apple has their arcade subscription, which was announced earlier this year.
Yeah.
It's coming up. Customers are going to pay a monthly fee of $4.99 for unlimited access to the catalog of premium apps and games without any ads and all of the in-app purchases unlocked. Some of the titles...
That sounds a lot like they're going to be just directly competing with Apple.
Some of the titles that were shown in the leaks were Monument Valley, Knights of the Old Republic, Threes, Limbo, Stardew Valley, Ticket to Ride, and Marvel Pinball.
Marvel Pinball?
Wow.
There's also going to be a family plan, but there was no price.
Usually it's $5 more.
Usually, yeah.
That's at least my experience with the different plans that we've had with Google.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting. I won't do it because there's barely anything on Google that I play anyways. I've been playing the crap out of Dr. Mario, and that's about it. I got a couple other games, but just Dr. Mario. So, anyways, moving on to number one. So, we all know that I am a very big collector of video games. John, I don't think you've ever actually seen my collection. You should come over one day and I will open up my box of shit. I don't have a lot. Like,
run, John, save yourself.
Run.
I don't have a lot like most people do. Mike, I think you've seen what I've had before.
Yes, I have.
But I have quite a bit. I have a lot of NES and SNES games, especially SNES games, because I loved the Super Nintendo. That's my childhood. And I'm making up for all the games that I never owned. That's why I went and paid $190 for Earthbound. Hey, that game goes for like $500, $600 on eBay, man. I don't want to hear it. I got a deal on it. So when I hear about somebody finding a rarity in an attic or a closet, I get excited. But when I found out that said rarity was never opened, that's when I start being like, what? So a Nevada man found an unopened copy of the 1987 classic video game Kid Icarus. Have you guys played that game?
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time.
It is freaking amazing. I love Kid Icarus. It is a great game. It is hard. It's not Super Ghouls and Ghosts hard or Ghosts and Goblins hard. But it's hard. It's got
that Link challenges. Sucks.
What sucks?
The Link is garbage, but
what? It's Fox News?
Yeah, if you actually check it out or look in the doc,
there's the telltale sign.
It's a blurb, and then it talks about freaking Ninja again.
Oh,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, no. I see what they're talking about here. Yeah, I should have cleaned it up, but that's okay. Anyways, so a man found an unopened copy of Kid Icarus. He got the game certified, and it went. They started an online auction on Thursday, and they're projecting that the game is at least going to sell for $10,000.
That's a lot of money.
The auction house that's holding the auction is Heritage Auctions, and
of course
they got the game certified. It has never been opened. I'm trying to see if I can see what the rating was. I don't remember. I don't think I see the rating in here. It was like an 80 something rating. But yeah, that's pretty trippy. I would love to find an open copy of a game. I wouldn't sell it. I'd keep it. I'd like frame it and mount it on my wall and be like, oh, you know, if I really want to play the game, I'll either download the ROM or I'll just go buy the cartridge open faced on the market and get it for like, what, $20. So,
man, you got to check them yard sales.
There are no yard sales here that have video games. What yard sales you be going at?
They come in waves. It's always the most unlikely place. That's how I found my gold cartridge Zelda.
Oh, I hate you.
It's got a chip out of the corner of the actual casing in the insertion point, but the chip itself is undamaged.
I have a gold cartridge Zelda 2, but my original Zelda game, I used to own a gold cartridge Zelda. Then my mom, or for some reason, we sold my Nintendo and the video games. It's back when I really didn't care that much. And because we were bouncing around from place to place. But my mom had eventually got me the Nintendo, the NES Mini, or not the NES Mini, but the smaller Nintendo, the top loader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm really happy about because I love that thing, and that thing is worth a lot of money. But
Were there many of those?
There was, but it wasn't really known.
Was it that they broke more often then?
No.
Huh.
They were just...
I've never actually seen the top-loading NES. Well, I have heard fables of this device.
Come to my house. I have one.
Interesting.
The only thing I don't have is the dog bone controller. I lost that. I don't know where the hell that ran off to. But if I had the dog bone controller, that thing would be worth anywhere from like 100 up. Depending on the condition. And it's in good condition. It's in really good condition. And I love the top loader because I rarely have any issues with playing games on the top loader as opposed to the old toaster. I do still use the toaster more than the top loader just because I like to keep the top loader a little bit more pristine. I use the top loader for those hard to read games. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Anyway, so that's that. That was our top five new stories of the day. Just reminding you all, noobshelter.com/donate. Don't forget about us. Where else are you going to get like an entire week's worth of video game news compressed and shrunk down into like 1 hour of podcast? Right here. We're not going to sit here and blurb on for like 2-3 hours talking about random shit. No, we broke it down. We cut all that stuff out. We broke it down to an hour, and we just give you the shit that you need to know. So noobshelter.com, donate $10 or more. We'll get you an executive producer credit on this show. And we also receive other forms of donations, show artwork, promotional materials, voiceovers, music, sound clips, show notes, archiving, and effects. We love them all. And like I said, I had a call out there. I would love a jingle, some kind of a like a stinger or some kind of a jingle that pokes at Mike constantly updating his office.
Piss off.
So consider helping us out by sending all artwork and the like to show@noobshelter.com. We'll give you a credit on the show and post your art on our website if we like it. And please also include your intent for allowing said content on our site. Again, that email address is show@noobshelter.com. And again, like I said, you can go to noobshelter.com/donate and throw some money on our PayPal account. The money goes to the show. It does not go to me. Just so you know. And checking the email for tonight, and we have spam from Twitch and spam from some podcast search engine optimization firm.
Wow.
Thanks for emailing the show, you guys.
Hey, you know, we're getting hits.
We're getting there.
Also,
baby steps.
I put it in chat.
Woo! If I see a link, I drops the link. Good job.
Yeah.
So I want to switch gears here and talk about some movie TV sewage. I don't know how I feel about this. One of my favorite movies from my childhood was a movie called The Last Starfighter.
You had a childhood?
Oh, you got it coming.
You bastards! You vicious, heartless bastards!
Anyway,
that was amazing.
Moist.
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 All right, so if you guys don't know what the movie is, it came out in 1984. It's about a kid named Alex Rogan, small town boy, big time dreams. And he plays a video game called Starfighter. And the purpose of the video game is to beat the Emperor Zur and bring justice to the galaxy. And he's fighting with the Starly. Well, it turns out that the video game is a training tool put on Earth accidentally by the Star League. And he does so good on the game that they actually come down and recruit him. I wish I could remember that guy's name for the life of me. The guy that rode in the space car. I can't remember his damn name. I got to look him up on IMDb. But have you guys seen that movie?
Oh, yes. It's been way too freaking long.
I actually have it. Oh, got an email from Mike. Love you. You son of a bitch. All right.
I didn't send you shit.
Last Starfighter. Okay, so the guy's name in the show, he was Centauri, the cowboy looking guy driving the space car. He's one of my favorite guys. You know, it was sad that he died like midway through the movie, but they came back to life at the end of the movie. I hope they better bring him back. So anyways, writer Gary Whitta, who co-developed the story for Rogue One, posted on Twitter that he's working as a writer and producer on a sequel 35 years in the making.
Nice.
Okay, now that I know that one of the Rogue One guys is behind this, I'm feeling a little bit more at ease because Rogue One was freaking amazing. Him and Jonathan Batuul, the writer and creator of The Last Starfighter, have been working on a follow-up to the sci-fi classic. So, last year, Whitta shared some concept art done by Rogue One's Matt Alsop for the movie, which features some gorgeous renderings of the film's ships and space docks. Last Starfighter was one of the first CGI-heavy movies ever made. It does not hold up over time. You can definitely tell they're fake.
What? But... No.
Which makes
Don't
it
you
an...
ruin that.
Which makes it an important film in the history of cinema. Obviously, though, these images make the world of the frontier in Rylos look far more beautiful than it did in the movie. And I'm excited to see this. So
probably better than Ultraviolet.
Yeah, it probably will be. So moving on, we got a new Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series.
I'm so freaking stoked.
I am feeling it. Deadline, who reported this, reports that Hulu has begun development on a new television adaptation of the late Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. TV showrunner Carlton Cruz of Lost and Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan fame and screenwriter Jason Fuchs.
Sound it out.
Fuchs.
There you go.
Wonder Woman, Ice Age, Continental Drift will lead the latest iteration of the franchise, which began as a radio series before Adams turned it into the beloved five books of the iconic novel.
The five-book trilogy.
Yeah, the five-book trilogy. Arthur Dent's travels through the universe have made it to the big screen, of course. We had the movie with Zooey Deschanel, Martin Freeman, Mos Def, Sam Rockwell, and Alan Rickman. That, I liked that movie. I get why some people didn't.
It was okay.
I thought it was funny. I thought Martin Freeman was as Arthur Dent was hilarious. Mos Def as Ford, I thought that was pretty good. Sam Rockwell, yeah. The cast was all right.
The cast was great. They didn't nail it like they needed to.
They missed a lot.
BBC TV series was better.
I saw the BBC TV series, and I loved everybody in the BBC TV series except for the girl who played Trillian. She was annoying.
Yes.
Oh,
God, please don't do
that. Oh, God damn it.
Can you stop?
Get off the stage, you drunk bastard!
Development has only just begun. We got some ideas. There's some ideas out there what it may or may not include. Check it out. I got Hulu Premium thingy. So,
yeah.
I'll get to watch it without any commercials. I just hope it comes sooner rather than later. I'm still waiting for that Lord of the Rings series to hit Amazon. I'm still waiting for them to bring back Man in the High Castle, the final season, so I can get that out of the way. Oh, by the way, I finished watching the last season of Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
I did not like the ending.
Never saw it.
I was not a fan of how they ended the series. There's like two particular reasons why. Well, three. Four, actually. Anyway, so if you guys never seen it, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yep.
Okay.
My wife watches it, not me, though.
Well, then when she finishes watching it, tell her to message me and I can vent my frustrations.
Okay.
And she can either agree with me or tell me that I'm completely wrong.
Okay.
So we all heard of Neon Genesis Evangelion, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't know about Mike, but yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Have you guys ever heard about that one Godzilla movie that came out shortly after 2014 Godzilla? They called it
Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, Shin Godzilla or Godzilla Resurgence. Yeah, it's Shin Godzilla, but they also titled it Godzilla Resurgence in some areas. So apparently the director, or the guy who created Neon Genesis Evangelion, he's the one that did Shin Godzilla. Now, I thought that movie was pretty freaking amazing. It was dark. Godzilla was nasty motherfucker. Nasty bastard. Out of the way, I never would imagine Godzilla being. He was just like a mindless zombie monster walking. The guy behind...
Kind of similar to the 98 Godzilla.
The guy behind the Neon Genesis Evangelion, who also did the Shin Godzilla, is going to be making a new Ultraman movie.
Ultraman!
It's time once again for a new Ultra Warrior to rise. Tsuburaya Productions and Toho, alongside animation studio Kara, have just formally announced Shin Ultraman. A new movie project reimagining the Ultraman mythos in a similar manner to Shin Godzilla's take of the King of All Kaiju cinematic legacy. Set to release in 2021, Shin Ultraman will once again see Anno partner up with Shin Godzilla's director Shinji Higuchi. That's the guy we're all talking about here, who will direct Shin Ultraman, while Enno will produce and write the screenplay. So I am looking forward to that. 2021, I have been a big Ultraman fan forever. I have to finish watching the animated series on Netflix. I like it so far. But yeah, I'm so
pumped. Ultraman.
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 Ultraman. Anyways, moving on to our digital capitalism section. John, you got something for us.
Oh, man. This... where's the link?
Yeah, it's under digital capitalism.
Oh, no, I got it. I was just trying to get to copy. Activision. The sleazy scumbags. Hit that button.
You bastards!
Douchebag!
I hit both of them.
Perfect. So... Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fueled, which it's a remake. It full on HD. They brought back a lot of the fan favorite carts and all that. Set it out for all the reviews and all that. There's not a microtransaction to be seen.
Really? Yeah.
Not one. Then on release, there were these coins, and yeah, you earn the coins as you go. Okay, fine. You can unlock stuff with it. Well, with a update that dropped today, there is now a way to purchase Wumpa coins with the new Grand Prix season, which will allow you to either earn more coins, or you can get your 5x multiplier, or your daily bonus increased, your Wumpa time. Basically, it's the... pay to win. They introduced this, they slid it in with an update along with other content, and now they're charging for the stuff that was gonna be free or at least obtainable. And sure, you're thinking, okay, well, I don't have to buy it, I'll just save up and I'll get it, except they rotate the shop every single day, and some of these things cost 3,000 coins, so you're either logging 10 to 18 hours to grind that one thing and hope they don't reset in the middle of it, or you shell out money to buy it.
Wow. Jesus. That's lame.
Yeah.
That is completely and totally lame. Fucking Activision.
Yeah. It's like they saw everything that's happening with EA and Bethesda, and they're just like, hold my beer.
Right.
Oh man, I hate those guys.
God.
Well, Activision's also been going kind of downhill as well too.
Kinda.
Right.
Kinda, sorta. I mean, not as bad as like GameStop, you know, but they're taking dives.
Bethesda, Activision, and EA are on a neck-to-neck race to see who can hit the bottom first.
They're both going to hit the bottom first soon. So, speaking of Activision, even though this doesn't really pertain to Activision anymore since they told Bungie to go fly, you know, jump off a cliff, Destiny 2, we talked about in a previous episode that they were coming out with a free-to-play version, which would include the base game, all of its updates till expansions till current. And then they were going to be releasing a Shadowkeep expansion that you would have to pay for. That's been delayed till October. So this is kind of... the developer revealed in a community update that Shadowkeep expansion and the free-to-play version New Light are receiving short delays. Both were supposed to launch on September 17th, but will now release on October 1st. They didn't outline the reason why for the delay, but did mention that cross saves are still on track for the summer. So, I'm mad about that.
Yeah.
I am really, really mad about that, man. That just hurts my feelers. So.
Okay.
I was looking forward to playing the newest. I'm already kind of working on the second expansion that I have, you know? The one where... spoiler alert, Cade dies. But, you know, whatever. I guess I'll have to wait till September or October 1st to finish playing. So,
I guess so.
Yeah. So, hey, we're all Diablo fans here, right?
Yep.
You can play it in a browser now.
Jesus.
Why not?
Back from a 20-year hiatus, the original Diablo is now available to play in your desktop browser. I mean, it's accessible for free. This browser-based version of the classic RPG does have a few limitations. CNET broke down these limitations in developer Rivsoft's shareware version of Diablo. You can only play as the warrior class. Dungeon access is limited, and many of the game's other characters can't be talked to. What the fuck is that?
What the hell is the point of the game then?
Exactly. Yeah. What the hell?
It's to get you nostalgic enough to buy the game.
Diablo made its way to GOG back in 2019. If you have files for the full game, you can add the diab.mpq file to Rivsoft's version to gain full access to everything Diablo has to offer directly in your browser. Okay.
Right,
so that's
in your browser.
That's kind of cool, although I could see where Diablo in a browser would work. I do own original Diablo, so I can easily get that MPQ file and use that. That's cool. So Diablo, for those of you who don't know, launched in 1996. Great game. I was able to play it on a really crappy laptop that I indefinitely borrowed from a friend of mine. A friend of mine actually burnt me a copy. Another friend of mine burnt me a copy of Diablo and gave it to me. Because back then you can get away with shit like that. The sequel to Diablo 2, arrived 4 years later. But it took more than a decade for Diablo 3 to hit the market. Any of you guys, John, Mike, you're still playing Diablo 3 on PS or on PlayStation?
Yeah, I have it on PlayStation 4 and on Xbox One.
Oh, okay, you got it on Xbox One. Maybe, just maybe, I might want to play with you on Xbox One one day.
I've been meaning to pick that game up myself.
I wouldn't
be
mind.
Be stole my beating heart.
Is that on Game Pass?
Not yet.
I don't think so. Oh.
If it was, I would have immediately downloaded it.
Well,
yeah,
it's
definitely freaking worth it.
I might pick up a copy later in the year. And I'll let you know if I do.
Well, let me know, because goddamn it.
I wouldn't be opposed
that
to
that. Would be an
return.
Amazing game for the three of us to freaking play.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We could stream it on Mixer.
Shut Woo-hoo. Up.
Yay! Anyways. So moving on. Oh, man, we're actually picking up on time here tonight. Does anybody have anything else to add before we go into quick shots?
Nope. Not today.
Wow. I'm quite sad, boys. I expected a lot more from you.
We got exactly enough to perfectly wrap up in the time frame allotted. You did right 60 minutes or less this time.
Exactly. Quick shot! 16-year-old wins Fortnite. He won $3
million.
$3 million.
That's awesome.
Tonight, you will get your dick ripped off. That doesn't sound right, does it?
So, a Nevada...
What the fuck, dude?
What the hell? The whole damn article got ripped off by something else.
Yeah.
Of course it did.
Wow. Hang on, let me find the article. I see what's going on here. Son of a bitch.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that's what I get. It didn't work, but I got it here. I'll fix it in the show notes. So, sorry about that. 16-year-old wins Jesus, $3 million dude. Playing Fortnite. Fuck it!
Technical malfunction!
So, Geyserdorf, Kyle Bugha, Geyserdorf, won first place at the solos competition at the first ever Fortnite World Cup, winning $3 million in prize money. He's a 16-year-old from Pennsylvania. He plays for the esports team Sentinels and topped other professional Fortnite players, coming in with 59 points, well ahead of the second-place finisher Harrison Salm Chang, who had 33 points. The $3 million prize is the largest amount ever awarded for an esports tournament. That is true, because wasn't it the 1 million invitational was for Dota, and I think they did like a 1.5 million?
Yep.
Something like that. So, the
COD championship last year, I think, was 1.5 as well.
Cool. Quick shot! So Nintendo Live, the Nintendo Live Gaming Expo is going to be held this October in Kyoto, Japan. I didn't even know they had a live expo. Last year's event was called Nintendo Live 2018 in Tokyo, and it was held in, wait for it, Tokyo.
Wow.
Expo.
Why can't they bring this shit to the United States? I want it here. Damn it, Nintendo. Bring it here.
Nintendo of America needs to freaking do it.
Come on, Bowser. Do your job.
They're not doing it. They're not. Okay. Nintendo Japan is not allowing it.
I'll look into it.
The Nintendo don't allow it.
I'm going to go stand outside. I'm going to drive. I'm on vacation for 2 weeks, so I think I'm going to spend a day sitting on a lawn chair outside of Nintendo of America's headquarters saying, bring Nintendo Live here.
Good luck.
Well, they're not kicking me off. I'm not, like, being violent. I'm just sitting on a lawn chair, drinking pop, holding a sign. I'm going to be like, yo, Bowser, bring Nintendo Live to the United States.
You got to get a boombox.
The expo will
over
have
your head.
Oh, what? Say anything? Okay.
Yep.
The expo will have game terminators. I can't speak tonight. I only got 4 hours of sleep. The expo will have game tournaments, stage events, and playable demos of new games, included in the stage events are a Splatoon music show and a Super Mario Maker 2 stage show with the Osaka comedy duo Yoiko, which includes Shinya Arino of Game Center CX fame. It's coming. It's going to be held on October 13th and 14th at Kyoto International Conference Center. Go get your tickets. Quick shot. We have a release date for the remaster of Ghostbusters the video game, and you know I'm all hyped about this. It's going to be coming out on October 4th. So, yeah.
Monday?
October 4th.
Oh, October. Ha. Huh.
Not Monday. I wish it would come out Monday. I'd be like, I'm going to go buy it. It's coming out on October 4th. Oh. Now, my question
Surprise.
Is, they it's don't... Open. You can get a box version of the game. A box version of the game can now be pre-ordered at retail for consoles. It's also available for digital pre-order. And it's going to be released for the PS4, Xbox One, PC, and the Switch. Are you kidding me?
Douchebag!
It's going to be released on PC via the Epic Game Store.
You bastards!
Anyways,
I almost could have called that one.
Right. Freaking Epic.
Those bastards.
We need a jingle for Epic, and just we need a bash Epic one.
I thought he just played it.
Something.
Yeah. Anyways, I guess that's it. I guess we're gonna call it.
3 minutes.
That's not bad. Well, we're gonna end a show mix too, so
that's right.
And a show mix coming up. I don't have anything interesting, so we're just going to play some random crap that I have in storage. I want to thank all of you guys
tuning
in. You guys were awesome. Thank you to Mr. Fitzit and Melody for joining us in the chat room. You guys are amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Most active our chat room's been in ages.
Yep. And we'll see you all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Friday, 9 p.m. Pacific. Although we might do it on a Thursday. We'll let you guys know on the boards. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Good night. Thank you.
penny for your thoughts.
I hate Brenda, and a bad guy hit me in the shin, and I peed all in my pants.
It's nothing a little music can't help.
I hate you.
Rockin' and rollin'. Down to the beach I'm strolling. But the seagulls poke at my head. Not fun. I said, seagulls, stop it now. Seagulls gonna come, poke me in the coconut, and they did, and they did, had me going like, ah. Me down. I love to groove and boogie. Yeah.
Great.
Show you some dance moves.
No, I don't want you to.
If I had your giant feet out there on the beach,